KQED.
This is special live coverage from KQED News, The Politics of DACA. Reaction came quickly across California today after U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced that the Trump administration was winding down DACA. That's the program blocking deportation for hundreds of thousands of young immigrants brought here illegally by their parents.
I'm here today to announce that the program known as DACA that was effectuated under the Obama administration is being rescinded. The policy was implemented unilaterally, to great controversy and legal concern, after Congress rejected legislative proposals to extend similar benefits to, on numerous occasions, to this same group of illegal aliens.
These dreamers are not some magical group of young people that we're not connected to. They are our families and our neighbors and our friends. We are going to be activated to ensure that every Republican congressman and woman in California that previously did not support this bill hears from us.
I'm in pain. I'm in pain for our communities. My heart hurts because so many of us are in fear of what's to happen in the next 6 months.
My name is Jose. I am a student at San Jose State University with my major in aerospace engineering. My dream, my ultimate dream, was to work for NASA and far, far in the future. It's still not getting to me because I'm still like in working mode. I have to prepare for my classes.
If anything, I feel that my mother has as much right to be here as I do. And so utilizing us as bargaining chips for more enforcement, for more detention facilities, for more walls is not okay.
Now I'm calling for every single one of us to share our stories, our histories with power, and to be involved more than ever.
Best advice I've gotten is to keep going forward. You know what? This is something we always knew could happen. We always feared for this. We didn't know what was going to happen to us, but you know what? I'm not feeling scared. I'm not terrified about my situation.
That was Carlos Lopez, and before him, Maria Vides, Osmar Abad Cruz, Jose, Sheila Ramos, San Diego Assemblywoman Lorena Gonzalez-Fletcher, and Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Good evening, everyone. I'm Scott Schaefer. Thanks so much for joining us for this special coverage, The Politics of DACA. California, of course, has the largest share of these so-called dreamers, more than 200,000 of them, and we'll be hearing from one of them in just a minute. But we begin with KQED's Taiki Hendricks. She's been covering immigration for what now, Taiki? Decades, I'm sure?
15 years at least.
Okay. Well, give us a sense of the landscape here, the big picture. You know, what has DACA done for these so-called dreamers, these young immigrants, and what are the prospects for them if this is undone?
Right. Well, it's the end of an era, and, you know, the most that Obama could do unilaterally was this kind of temporary protection from deportation. It wasn't full legal status. President Trump is now saying that even these kids who grew up here, in a way, the most sympathetic undocumented kids, are not going to get his support. And it's a big deal in California. As you say, 1 in 4 of this 800,000 folks who got DACA live in the state. And I would say they and their families are fearful right now, but they're also mobilized. And I think you heard that in some of the tape we just heard.
The rally sounds,
yeah. So,
Course, you know, with now the clock is really ticking. And in some ways, I suppose DACA recipients have felt that pressure all along. But now we have some real deadlines. Talk about that, what those are, and what do they mean?
Sure. So today, the federal agency that oversees DACA, the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, said that all of the new applications they've received as of today, they will process. And renewals for folks whose DACA is going to expire in the next 6 months, they have until October 5th, 1 month, to put in a renewal application.
And a renewal, then, if that's granted, would take them to when?
2 years out. It's a 2-year benefit. But it won't be renewed after that. It's going to just expire.
And you mentioned, of course, the federal government has all this information about these folks. When the Obama administration enacted DACA, they came forward, they gave their personal information, they had to undergo background checks. What happens now to all of that information that the federal government has on these 800,000 or so DACA recipients?
Yeah, I think that's a good question that a lot of these folks are asking. So the agency that's running DACA is both in the Department of Homeland Security along with immigration enforcement agencies. They say they're not going to be proactively sharing that information, but that they could if someone presents is deportable for some other reason or presents a threat to public safety, national security.
Now, I know this is a bit of a crystal ball question, but you mentioned that there are at least indications of a lot of political engagement now on this issue. California is also considering SB 54, which would make California a so-called sanctuary state. So the stakes here are very high on all sides, both Republicans and Democrats, and of course for DACA recipients and their families.
Right. And I mean, at this hour, there are protests taking place in the streets of Los Angeles, San Francisco. We could be seeing the beginning of a revved up immigration reform movement. I think that's a real possibility. A surprising number of businesses came out in support of DACA and legalizing these guys, and even some Republicans who've been pushing for this, including some of our congressmen in the Central Valley.
And we're going to hear from one of them in just a little bit. But I want to bring in one of those DACA recipients right now. His name is Miguel. And Miguel, I know you don't want to use your last name. That's totally understandable under the circumstances. But thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Tell us your story. When you came to the U.S., where did you come from?
Yeah, I was born in Oaxaca, Mexico, and my parents and my family immigrated to this country when I was 3 years old. We came here for economic hardships. My mother wanted to give me a little brother, but we got twins instead, and so it doubled everything for us, and we couldn't afford to eat anymore in Mexico, so we packed our things and we left to America to try to get a better life, more opportunity, and for us to get a higher education and contribute to our communities.
Tell us about your schooling. You said you got higher education. Did you go to college?
Yeah, so I'm really lucky. I actually just graduated from San Francisco State in May with my bachelor's degree in visual communication.
And having DACA, being a DACA recipient, what has that allowed you and your peers, other DACA recipients that you know, other dreamers, what has that allowed you to do that you wouldn't have been able to do otherwise?
It's opened so many doors for me, but one of the main things I want to highlight is I studied abroad with DACA using advanced parole, and I saw so many countries in Europe that I thought I would never get to see, and I actually did the impossible. Since day one, the government and everyone else has been telling me I won't ever travel outside of California, and I made it across the ocean, and I studied for 6 months, and I saw so many cultures, and I saved up my money. I got all the scholarships I could, and DACA is the only thing that could have given me that.
And quite apart from DACA, what would you like to do with your life? What would you see yourself doing?
So my ultimate goal is to be a senior designer for some sort of design firm or social media outlet like Facebook or Instagram or Apple.
And what does this announcement today, what does it mean for you? What does it mean for your family?
Well, it honestly got me really distraught, and I broke down into tears when I saw it this morning. But it just means, like, my life is once again being played with, and it's being, like, joked around or passed around like some chip. And it's just really frustrating and stressful because it's my life. It's my future. It's my opportunities. It's my family's future. And if I can't work and if my brothers can't work, that means my parents have to, like, take care of us, and that puts a bigger strain because I'm 22 years old. I can work in the workforce. I have what it takes, and I want to pay taxes, and I want to contribute to this country so bad, but they're not letting me.
Given the uncertainty of all that, what advice are you getting?
I saw the dreamers out there, all the undocumented community. It's now or never. Come out of the shadows. Be resilient. Fight back. Be activists in your communities and mobilize. Our fate and our lives have been in the hands of white men for too long. It's time to fight back and stand up and take our own life in our own hands.
All right. Miguel, thank you so much for joining us on this. What is certainly a very difficult day for you and your family. We appreciate your taking time to talk to us.
All right. Thank you so much.
I want to bring in a very different voice now. Jessica Vaughn is director of policy for the Center for Immigration Studies. That's a conservative think tank that favors limited immigration. Jessica Vaughn, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be with you.
You just heard Miguel talking about his life and DACA, what it's meant for him. What goes through your mind as you listen to him?
Yeah, well, what President Trump has really done is thrown a lifeline to people like Miguel who have DACA now, because this program was facing almost certain sudden death because it was created improperly and implemented very poorly and illegally by Barack Obama and his administration, and the courts were almost certainly going to strike it down.
And we're going to get to the legal parts of it in a moment, but I'm just wondering, you know, so the president today sort of kicked the ball to Congress. Would you like... Are you, as someone who advocates for less immigration, are you supporting sort of this fix to DACA? Is that what you want Congress to do, to sort of legalize the status of these young people?
Well, it's the only possible way to do it. If someone wants that to happen, it has to be through Congress, because under our Constitution, Congress is the branch of the government that controls immigration policy and that sets the parameters for legal immigration.
So you're saying yes, you do. So your group does support that legislation, if whatever it turns out to be.
Well, it depends on the legislation, of course, but I think legislation is the way to go, and I can imagine a bill that I certainly would support that would give amnesty to most of the people who have DACA, and also mitigating the fiscal costs and chain migration effects that it's likely to have down the line.
I'm sorry, we have limited time, so I'm trying to get a lot of questions in here. But what about for their parents? I mean, we just heard Miguel, his parents are here also. So in some ways, they are the most sympathetic people in this situation of being an undocumented immigrant. What about the rest of their family? Would you support their being here as well with some sort of legal status?
Well, I don't support any proposal that rewards or encourages more illegal immigration. I mean, we have to remember that Miguel's situation was created by his parents' decision to come here illegally, and while they may have felt that that was the best thing for them to do at the time, there are other consequences for our country and for people in the United States who are affected when we tolerate illegal immigration. So our immigration policy as a country needs to have everyone's interests in mind, especially and primarily Americans and the national interest. And that's, you know, why it's up to Congress to come up with a policy.
I'm sorry. I want Techie Hendricks is here wanting to jump in.
Hi, Jessica. You mentioned a couple of bills, and I mean, there is legislation in Congress right now, the DREAM Act in the Senate and this Recognizing America's Children Act in the House, which would give a provisional legal status to essentially the kids who had DACA for a number of years. And if they go to school, go to college, go into the military or work for a number of years, then they would be eligible for a green card. Would you support either of those bills?
It doesn't sound like it. I don't think so. I think that the DACA program, a legalization or amnesty program for people with DACA needs to be limited to the people who have it now, not to be a permanent program whereby anybody who arrives illegally as a child can expect to eventually be on a path to citizenship. I think that this needs to be a one-time event and benefit most, but not all, of the people who now have DACA, because DACA was administered very loosely, and a lot of people got it, frankly, who shouldn't have. And so that needs to be corrected also.
Okay.
But I do think there should be an amnesty for people with DACA along with other provisions that are out there, like the RAISE Act, for example.
All right. Jessica Vaughn, Director of Policy for the Center for Immigration Studies, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
There are, of course, many legal issues involved in all of this, and I want to bring in UC Hastings law professor David Levine right now. And David Levine, thanks for joining us.
Hi, good evening, Scott. Thanks for inviting me.
So earlier today, Attorney General Sessions called President Obama's executive order, the original one in 2012, unconstitutional. That was called executive overreach. Now there's talk of California suing. And I'm wondering, you know, how much legal jeopardy was DACA in before today's announcement?
In because it was, I mean, it was always vulnerable to this issue of whether or not President Obama went too far. There's a case out of the Southern District of Texas, which I ought to describe briefly, which was a related program regarding the parents of U.S. citizens. So let's say a child had been born in the United States, the parents were undocumented. President Obama wanted to essentially extend this kind of the DACA type protection.
So that was, just to clarify, that was DAPA with a P as opposed to DACA.
With a P, right, D-A-P-A, right, exactly, Scott. Anyway, the district court judge down in Texas controversially accepted Texas's lawsuit. For technical reasons, it's controversial, but granted a preliminary injunction suggesting that the Obama administration had overreached. It went up to the Fifth Circuit, and by a 2-to-1 vote, only a 2-to-1 vote, the Fifth Circuit agreed with the district court judge that as a preliminary matter, it looked as if there could be problems with what the president had, President Obama had done with DAPA. And then it went up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the division was 4-to-4. Justice Scalia had died by that point. We don't have an opinion from the U.S. Supreme Court, and we don't know what the basis was for each side. We don't have the votes. We don't know exactly who lined up where.
And so what does that say, if anything, about DACA? Because, again, that was DAPA.
Well, what it says is that it's not open and shut that DACA is illegal. That was a very close preliminary decision with respect to the DAPA, DAPA program, and then the Trump administration chose to withdraw the program. So to say that that DACA is flatly unconstitutional is just wrong. It's there's some vulnerability. It's not clear what a Gorsuch Supreme Court would do, or including Justice Gorsuch, which way the court would go. But it is certainly plausible to argue, more than plausible, to argue that DACA is within the president's prerogative. And I'd also take note, Scott, that next month, we are going to hear oral arguments at the U.S. Supreme Court regarding the travel ban, and the Trump administration is going to take a very broad-brush approach to the president's power with respect to issuing the travel ban. So for Attorney General Sessions to say, on patently false information, by the way, that the DACA is unconstitutional, and then to turn around because it exceeds presidential power, and then we know what they're going to be arguing next month, it's pretty ironic.
Yeah, and so wanting to have it both ways in one sense. UC Hastings Law Professor David Levine, thanks so much for joining us. I'm sure we'll be back in touch with you before you know it.
Thanks, you bet.
Thanks for joining us tonight.
Sure, Scott.
Now we go to Karen Tumlin, who is legal director of the National Immigration Law Center. Karen Tumlin, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Scott. Nice to be here.
So tell us what you're hearing from DACA recipients and their families. What concerns do they have?
Well, obviously today was a really crushing day for immigrant youth in this country. It was, a day folks had worried about since the election, but for the last, over 7 months since he took office, President Trump has continued the DACA program. But today, he really pulled the rug out from under the feet of immigrant youth in this country. And so folks are afraid. They're deeply concerned about the termination of DACA, even though there are some months before in the president's, words, the program would wind down. It's life-altering, right? It is a change of events for these individuals, and deeply concerning is the talking points that came from the White House today, saying that they expect the immigrant youth to use this period to make plans to leave the country.
Yeah.
And this is the country they call home.
What do you tell them? What advice do you have for a dreamer? We just heard from one, you may have heard him, Miguel, who wants to live his life. This is the only country he knows. So what advice do you give them?
Well, I think, the advice that we're giving everyone right now is, this is yet again a moment where our country has a choice. Right? We had a choice in the first 7 days of Trump's presidency when he issued the Muslim ban, and people took to the courts, and importantly, they took to the streets, and they stood up and they said, this is not the country we want to be in. We're not standing for it. And I'm most encouraged by the outpouring of support that has come from all corners of the country in the last weeks, frankly, and today, right? The states who have spoken out, the businesses who have spoken out, faith leaders who have spoken out. But what's important today is that folks need to stand up and be an ally to the immigrant youth in this country who have DACA. The way to do that is to take a stand against the politics and the policies of hate that the president has put forward and Attorney General Sessions have put forward by calling for an end to this program.
All right. Karen Tumlin, legal director of the National Immigration Law Center, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Scott.
Well, California Attorney General, that is, Javier Becerra, is promising legal action against the Trump administration. I spoke to him a little while ago. Attorney General, you said today that, and I'm quoting now, in terminating DACA, the Trump administration has violated the Constitution and federal law. How exactly did they do that?
Well, every one of us in this country, whether you're of immigrant stock or you were born here or your family comes from five generations back, we're all entitled to the equal protection of the laws under the Constitution of this country. We're also entitled to due process when the federal government tries to act to take something away from us. And there's also a process that must be followed by an administration when it takes certain actions to give notice, to go through a process of giving information out and making a decision that makes sense. And so we think on a number of fronts we'll be able to show that the federal government has violated the rights of not just the Dreamers, but quite honestly has harmed states like California, where one of every four of these DACA recipients lives.
Is this the kind of case that could have been made and perhaps was made before this?
I think we've constantly made the point, and now we've got data from several years of the DACA program as being such a success to demonstrate what we're talking about. You're talking about young people who now have come out of the shadow and are able to graduate and go on to college, who have become professionals, who are paying taxes, who are serving in our military, who are buying homes, who are creating jobs. All of these things have been made possible through the DACA program, and to simply say we're going to snuff it out is in many ways not just a dark day for America and its values, but it's certainly a lack of recognition of what it takes to keep a country moving forward.
That is Attorney General Javier Becerra. He says legal action coming soon. He wouldn't say exactly when, but I think we can expect that to be shortly and probably with other attorneys general from other states like New York and Washington and Oregon. I'm Scott Schaefer. You're listening to special coverage of today's DACA decision, the politics of DACA. I'm here with KQED's Tyke Hendricks. And Tyke, what California has been at the forefront on this issue in terms of normalizing life for undocumented immigrants.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, we'll be curious to see if a lawsuit like Becerra's lawsuit prevails. There are really sort of limited things that a state can do. I mean, immigration enforcement is something done by the federal government. So California lawmakers have over the, you know, since Trump was elected, have been trying to protect the information of, for example, undocumented people here with driver's licenses. And
there have been bills to that effect.
Bills to that effect.
To protect that information.
There's a new bill from Senator Lara that would, if DACA students lose their federal work study money, this would create a state program that they could earn some money for college. So they're trying to do this sort of thing. But ultimately, you know, ICE operates, you know, in this state as well as others.
And the way this was vaguely worded today from the Attorney General and from the Department of Homeland Security, it's very vague and therefore open to interpretation and gives them a lot of latitude in terms of what to do with the information and when to use it and when not to.
That's right. And, you know, they say that I mean, the government says they're not going to be using people's personal information to track them down and deport them. But they've given themselves, as you say, a lot of latitude there.
Well, much of the reaction today, not surprisingly, happened in Los Angeles, home to many Latino residents and many undocumented immigrants and DACA students. And we turn now to Stephen Cuevas. He's Los Angeles bureau chief for KQED. And Stephen, talk about what the reaction was in L.A. today. I know there's another rally going on this evening. Describe what you saw when you attended.
Well, yeah, there's a rally going on as we speak. There was one earlier this afternoon in downtown. This happened right after city and county leaders got together on the steps of the big county building in downtown to address the news that General Jeff Sessions gave us earlier. They were joined by many Dreamers who also spoke. I would say overall the mood was pretty grim, but also very determined. But that's also kind of reflective of how LA has been responding to immigration issues in general. And, you know, going back before Donald Trump, I would say, but certainly since Donald Trump's election, it's certainly been supercharged, if you will. The Dreamers I've spoken to, including one this morning who I spoke to as Jeff Sessions was speaking, you know, this is someone who's been very determined and focused in making sure DACA stays as is. And for the first time in speaking with him, he seemed genuinely shaken by the news, but also seemed still fairly determined.
All right. Stephen Cuevas, Los Angeles bureau chief for KQED. Stephen, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Scott.
Well, the ball is now in Congress's court, and 2 weeks ago, several Republican members of the House wrote a letter to President Trump urging him to keep DACA until Congress could pass a law protecting these young folks. And one of the people who signed, one of the Congress members who signed, was Jeff Denham. He represents the 10th Congressional District in California. That includes Modesto. It's about 90 miles east of San Francisco. I spoke with Jeff Denham earlier today, and he said he's hoping Congress passes what he called a permanent fix to DACA. I asked him what that means.
A permanent fix would be to all of the Dreamers that have been brought here to no fault of their own. They've already been going to school here. Each of the different bills have very similar goals in that would allow a residency for 5 years with an opportunity to apply for legal permanent residence and ultimately a path to citizenship. So it is a quicker pathway than anything that's being proposed across all immigration reform.
Would it be comparable, for example, to a green card?
It would be comparable initially as like a work visa, yes. And then ultimately it would change to a legal permanent residency. So it would be better than the current system that we have today.
When President Obama first announced DACA, I think it was in 2012, I'm sure you remember, he called on Congress to put the protections into law, exactly what is being talked about today. That never happened, of course. So what makes you think it'll happen now?
I think it's going to happen now because we have a timeline in front of us. And we have also moved the issue forward in a bipartisan fashion. So I think it'll be important to apply pressure to both parties to get this done immediately.
What would you tell DACA recipients who are worried that they in good faith gave all their personal information to the government and now feel vulnerable, that they could be deported based on things that they did in good faith, based on what their government was telling them?
I would just say Congress is going to get its job done. We are going to fix this system and make sure that there is certainty out there, especially for those that are working in our communities and those that are willing to serve their country and want to go to school and better their lives.
That is Republican Congressman Jeff Denham. He represents the 10th Congressional District in California's Central Valley, sort of the middle to northern part of that. Tyke Hendricks, there you hear the congressman saying Congress is going to do its job. They haven't been doing that lately.
They have not, and they also have some pressing matters on their plate, like Hurricane Harvey relief and raising the debt ceiling and so forth before they get to immigration. Denham, I think, wants to hitch this Dreamer legalization to a border security bill, and we'll see how that goes with Democrats.
And mysteriously, Donald Trump tweeted about an hour ago, Congress now has, this is his tweet, Congress now has 6 months to legalize DACA. If they can't, I'll revisit this issue, ! So who knows what that means?
Who knows, indeed.
Only Donald Trump knows for sure. Well, there are many unanswered questions about DACA, of course. What happens next in Congress, in the courts, and on the streets as we continue to see reaction to this decision today by the Trump administration, a decision with very personal impact for hundreds of thousands of California immigrants and their families. Tyke Hendricks, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Stay tuned to KQED and many of these stations for ongoing coverage and for updates on this and all news. Go to kqednews.org. This concludes The Politics of DACA. It's a special production of KQED News. Our producer and director today is Polly Stryker. Our engineer is Katie McMurrin. For all of us here at KQED, I'm Scott Schaefer. Thanks for listening.